how important is it to speak English like a native speaker? And how do you pronounce the TH sound in English? All this and lots more in this episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hello and welcome. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And if you are a new listener to the podcast, with over 45 years of teaching English between us, we're going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. How are you, Reza?
I'm very, very well, Craig. And how are you?
I'm feeling fine. A bit too hot because we're recording here without the air conditioning, sacrificing everything for your listening pleasure.
Why do we do that, Craig?
Because of the noise of the air conditioning. It gets in the podcast if it's too noisy. So we're suffering in order that you can improve your English. I hope you appreciate it out there.
We literally sweat for you guys.
We're sweating in the Valencian sun. Before we move on to the main content of the podcast, I want to say hello to Lisa111 from Spain, who left a lovely review and 5 stars on iTunes for us. Thank you very much, Lisa. Don't think we don't see your reviews. I go there regularly and share them with Reza so that we know that you're appreciating the podcast and we listen to your suggestions on iTunes. And I also want to say thank you to Kaysersosi9, I think that is. Kaysersosi9, also from Spain, who left us a review. Reza, would you mind reading our review of Kaysersosi9? And this is not to blow our own trumpet, which means it's not to say how good or great we are. But this reviewer gave some other things to help you improve your English, some other ideas.
He wrote in Spanish.
Or she.
Or she, true. He oído muchos podcasts de inglés hasta la fecha. Y este es sin duda el mejor. Thank you, Kaiser Sose. Really, they are their words. We did not invent this, honestly. He goes on, or she goes on. No solo por su podcast, también por su web, su Facebook, sus cuadernillos quincenales, etc. La cantidad y calidad de su material es increíble. For you guys, he swaps into English. I'm just reading it out. For you guys, I just can say thanks. I think it means I can just, all I can say is probably better, isn't it? All I can say is thanks. Many thanks for everything. To do some work like this without expecting nothing, you mean without expecting anything, in exchange is awesome. I wish you all the best and the greatest of success. Well, thanks very much to Kaiser Sose and also to Lisa.
Yep.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. And yes, not many people know that we do have other services that you could use to improve your English. So I will tell you where to find them. Of course, the main website is mansioningles.com. Mansioningles.com. That's where you can find free general English courses, listening material, vocabulary, grammar reference, lots of material, all for free on mansioningles.com. Every 2 weeks, we send an email newsletter with exercises at different levels of English. You can sign up for that Mansion Inglés newsletter at cuadernodeingles.com. All of these links, by the way, on the show notes for this podcast, which you can find at inglespodcast.com/169. If you're interested in a paid course, we have downloadable courses on sale at store.mansioningles.net. And over 100,000, I think now nearly 110,000 people are on our Facebook page, a huge community of people practicing their English, sharing ideas, helping each other. And we do also post exercises for you to do. That's at facebook.com/mansioningles. So if Facebook is your thing, you can go there. You can follow us on Twitter at @mansiontwit. And we also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/lamencion del inglés. And of course, if you're a regular listener to this podcast or a new listener, you can sign up for our podcast newsletter, and you do that at inglespodcast.com. So all of these things available for you to improve your English, and all of those links on the website. Reza, on the podcast website, we got a question from Ainoa. What does she say?
Ainoa writes, "Hi, Reza and Craig. Thank you very much for your podcast. I like them very much. I'd love it if you could talk about the TH sound. I have doubts about its correct pronunciation. It's different in words like the, thing, Thomas, Thatcher. Thank you very much."
Thank you very much. That's with a TH sound with a th. Thank you very much. Yes, it is different, isn't it? You can have the TH and have, I think, three different ways of saying it, aren't there?
Yeah, I can't think of any other weird exception there might be, but it's very rare if there's a fourth one. We don't know about it. What's the first TH sound which occurs to you, Craig?
Well, there's a TH sound with no vibration in the vocal cords. The vocal cords are, how do you say that in Spanish? They're the things in your throat that vibrate.
I'm guessing, I'm not sure, cuerdas vocales.
Sounds good.
People would understand me. I don't know if that's the right expression, but you understand us, right?
Anyway, they're things in the throat that move when you say some sounds in English. And if you put your hand on your throat...
Gently. Don't strangle yourself, not the asphyxias. We don't want to be responsible for anyone's death.
Don't try this at home. Just gently, don't squeeze. Put your hand on your throat. When you say words like thank you, thanks, think, pensar, and three, and Thatcher, and thing, all of those TH sounds are without vibration. So you feel nothing when your hand is on your throat, your garganta. You feel no vibration. There's nothing there. The sound is just air going through your teeth. So your tongue is slightly between your teeth, and th is the sound. Th, 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 th. Thank you. That's the sound.
Craig, you say you feel nothing. Yeah, that's what I tell people as well. But you might kind of feel a tiny amount of movement, even in a voiceless sound, but much less than the other type.
Oh, yes, because if you say words like these, this, those, you can really feel the vibration and the sound going around your head, inside your skull, inside the bone in your head. And if you put your hand on the top of your head also, you can feel the vibration in the vocal cords when you say the, like brother or mother or weather or the. You can really feel the vibration. So those are the two common sounds, the most common sounds. You've got the TH sound with no voice, like thank you, thanks, think, and three. And you have the other sound with voice in words like these, this, those, weather, etc.
So the mouth is doing the same thing, it's only there's more vibration in the second group, right?
Exactly. The vocal cords are activated, the mouth does the same thing. So voiceless, just the air going through your teeth, and with voice, air going through your teeth, but vibration in the throat.
And you know what? Unfortunately, it's a very sexist world we live in. Don't blame us, but you know what? It's easier for men than women to detect the difference, simply because we have a bigger Adam's apple and our vocal cords are bigger.
What's an Adam's apple?
And with.
Ah, Adam's apple.
That thing in your throat which sticks out.
The lump.
We all have one, men and women, but for some strange reason in English, we call it Adam's apple as if only men have one, but women have it as well. Thing is, men's are much bigger. So it's much easier if you're a man to feel that vibration. It's human nature. Sorry, we can't do anything about that, ladies.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. There is a third type of TH pronunciation, but it's much less common. You won't hear words like this very often. I'm talking about words like Thomas, that's T-H-O-M-A-S, or the River Thames, the famous river which goes through London. It's spelled T-H-A-M-E-S, and it's pronounced Thames. And the word time, but I'm not talking about time like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock. I'm talking about T-H-Y-M-E, time. The herb, which is tomillo.
Tomillo.
T-H-Y-M-E is pronounced time. So there are a few T-H words which are pronounced as if it was just the letter T.
And you said the third type. What kind of sound is T-H-I-R-D?
And third. So third, there's no vibration, so it's type one, voiceless.
Is it similar to the soft C in Spanish if you say cerveza?
Yes.
It's very similar to the th
as
in
As far
cerveza.
As I know, it's identical even.
Yeah.
I would say it's the same, like cerveza, Zaragoza. If you live in Spain.
Right. So if you live in Spain, your mouth should be used to making that sound. You should be able to make that sound.
We're about to get into trouble, Craig.
Why?
Sorry. If you live in Spain, except certain parts of Andalusia. Or Andalusia. We forgot.
Okay.
Because in Andalusia, they do say cerveza in some parts. Cerveza and gracias.
So would they say Andalusia or Andalusia?
Depends. Some of them say Andalusia and some say Andalusia. Depends which part of that region. Very complicated. So for many Spanish people, we should say, you know it's the sound th of cerveza or Zaragoza. But of course, if you're South American, it's not much use because in Central and South America, you don't have th sound at all.
So you have to practice more.
Craig, I tell you what, shall we test listeners?
Yep, let's do it.
What we're going to do is we'll say a word with a TH, and it could be type one, voiceless, like thank you, or it could be type two with voice, like these or this or that, or it could be type three, the less common one, which is t, like Thomas. So tell you what, we'll say the word, then we'll pause a little bit, let you think about it, and then we'll tell you the number.
So we're going to say the words, and then the listener has to guess if it's without voice, voiceless, that's number one, with voice, number two, or like the T sound, like Thomas or Thames or time, which is number three, right?
Craig, can you kick off, please?
I will kick off. I will start. So first word, thunder. Thunder. Thunder and lightning. Thunder.
One.
Yeah. Next one, Reza.
Well, it could be two different words. There. There.
Number two.
And how do you spell there?
Could be T-H-E-R-E, like A-E, there, over there. Or it could be Deus, there, their trousers, T-H-E-I-R, their car. Next word. Thick. T-H-I-C-K. Grueso. Thick.
That's group one. Voiceless. The next one. 30. 30.
Treinta o trece?
30.
That's group one. If you got that, group one. 30. Yeah.
And it was treinta. Because if it was trece, it would be 13.
So you stress the second syllable, yeah. Next word, through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through. I'm looking through the window.
Group one, voiceless. Next word, them, them.
Group two. Next word, we were speaking before about the noises and vibration in your garganta. What's that in English? Throat. Your throat, T-H-R-O-A-T, vibration in your throat.
So group one, that's voiceless. The next word is then. Then.
That's group two. Next word, health. That's the TH sound at the end of salud. Health. Once again, health.
That's group one, voiceless. The next word is wealthy.
Rico.
Wealthy.
Group one, wealthy.
Can I just interrupt for a minute to say that so far, if you're observant, you'll have noticed that we have some TH at the beginning, like 30. We've had it at the end, now, like health. And now we've had one in the middle, like wealthy. It can be anywhere.
Next word, worth. W-R-O-T-H. How much is it worth? Or it's not worth it. Once again, worth.
That's voiceless. Group one. Now, the next one's very interesting. I think it really made me think myself when I was devising this little test, when I was making it up. Next one, Craig, is worthy.
What does that mean?
Worthy. Well, worth is valor. What's the worth? Yeah, or is it worth it? Is vale la pena? ¿Tiene valor? ¿Vale la pena? Mm-hmm. So if something is worthy, it's worth effort. It's worth trouble.
So if you would say, I'm not worthy of this position, that means I'm not good enough for it. I'm not worthy of your love, for example.
Yeah,
I don't deserve it.
Yeah, so it's the adjective from the word worth.
And what group is it, worthy?
I'll say it once more, worthy.
That's group two.
That's right.
Vibration.
With vibration.
And you can hear it, can't you?
Worthy.
Worthy.
Yet the noun worth was group one.
Yep. Voiceless.
I checked it in a dictionary. First, I trusted myself, but I thought, Reza, don't trust yourself. You make mistakes. I checked it in the dictionary, and yeah, I was right. So I'm afraid to tell you already, listeners, there's no rule.
Yeah.
You can have one word, which is group one voiceless, worth, which is a noun, turn it into an adjective, and it might stay the same, or it might change. In this case, it changes to the voiced, worthy. The word wealthy, which we had earlier, rico, mm-hmm. wealthy is group one, voiceless, the same as the noun wealth. So there's no rule. There's no rule to tell you.
And to be honest, there isn't a lot of difference in the two sounds. If you listen, worth, worthy, there's not a huge difference. But because in this podcast, we're answering a question on how to speak more like a native speaker, if you do want to be more like a native speaker, these are the kind of subtle, small differences you need to concentrate on to improve your pronunciation. So listen once more. I'll say the two words and Reza will say the two words and then repeat them after us. Worth, worthy.
Worth, worthy.
Next, we have a word which changes when you cross the Atlantic from UK English to US English. It's maths in the UK and math with no S in the US. So once again, maths, math.
Well, in both cases, group one, voiceless, no vibration. The next word is a place, Thailand. Thailand.
I think that's easy. That's group three. That's the hard T sound. Next word, Gothic. For example, a Gothic cathedral or Gothic script or a Goth.
That's group one without vibration, voiceless. The next one is a common surname, a common family name in English with two different spellings, but it doesn't change the pronunciation. Thompson. Thompson.
That's group one.
So that word can be spelled T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N or without P.
I think that's Luke's surname over at Luke's English Podcast, Luke Thompson.
Is he with a P or without a P?
I think he's with a P.
Now, there's a couple more words that we've added. You'll see them in the show notes. They aren't really included in this group. But if you look at them in paper, they look like they are.
Yeah.
Which are the words sweetheart, for example, or lighthouse and similar words. So sweetheart is S-W-E-E-T-H-E-A-R-T. But the T and H don't go together. It's really sweet plus heart. So it's not T and H together. So therefore, it doesn't really enter this issue. But just watch for it when you're reading. Or lighthouse is light plus house. The T and H just happen to be together, but they don't really go together because they're compound words.
That's a good point.
Craig, we have some more feedback. We have a voice message from, is it Leanne or Lianne? I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
It's Leanne, who wants to speak like a native English speaker, and she sent us a voice message. So let's listen to Leanne's message.
Hi, Mr. Ressa and Mr. Craig, and I've been listening to your podcast about how to understand the words can't and can. But what I would like is if you could give us some advices of how to speak like a native speaker. Because when I hear a recall audio from other people or even mine, I immediately realize that I'm not a native speaker and that they're not native speaker. And I really would like to improve that to that my English sounds like yours. That English is so beautiful and I really would like to speak like that. So I really appreciate if you could give us some advices to improve our pronunciations.
Well, Leanne, thank you very much. That was a very nice message.
I thought her pronunciation was excellent.
Very good.
Very, very good.
I was particularly impressed by your intonation, your use of the tone of voice going up and down. It was very good. Very, very close, if not the same as a native speaker.
And I appreciate your respect by calling us Mr., but it makes me feel very old. I feel like when they call me Mr. Wieland or Mr. Craig, I feel very old. So please don't call me Mr. I feel ancient.
And what's more, it's not really very correct because Reza and Craig are our first names, not our family name. And he's not typical in English. You can, but it's not typical to say Mr. plus someone's first name. It sounds very old-fashioned or like you're joking or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you use the family name, that sounds more correct in modern English, but it's very formal.
Yeah, it's still too formal, I think, because we're not particularly formal people.
You can just call us Craig and Reza.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one thing about a small mistake you made, Leanne, with advice. Advice is an uncountable noun. So don't say give advices or some advices. Give some advice. You can also say a piece of advice, but you would not have the S at the end. So remember that, advice, some advice, or a piece of advice. But Leanne raises a very interesting question. What did you think about the idea of her wanting to sound more like a native speaker, even though her pronunciation is already very good?
It really is, Leanne. It's very good already. Don't worry, no native speaker would have any trouble understanding you. But it's true. We can tell that you're not a native speaker. But don't panic. Really. Big deal. Big deal is Ike. No pasa nada. Big deal. Because Craig and I have been living in Spain for over 20 years. And we speak Spanish every day of our lives. But still, we sound like foreigners.
Yeah.
Because that's almost impossible to change. If you don't start speaking a language as a young child, it's very unlikely that your accent, your pronunciation, will ever be 100% the same as an adult. But don't worry about that. That's not important. It's no big deal. By the way, I can give you a good example of that. My dad, who was born in India and emigrated to the UK when he was about 16, 17.
He never lost his accent.
Yeah, he never lost it.
He had a slight accent. That's true.
So can you imagine? He only spent about 15, 16 years of his life outside the English-speaking world, although he spoke English a little bit in India. And then the rest of his life was spent in an English-speaking environment, but he didn't quite lose his accent because people don't.
It was a part of his identity and a part of our identity as British people living in Spain is the fact that we come from the UK. So it's part of who we are. And I think you have to ask the question, why do you want to sound more like a native speaker? As long as people can understand you and there isn't a communication problem because of your misplaced stress or because of intonation that's confusing or badly pronounced words. If there's no problem with communication, I think that's a question you really have to think about. Why do you want to sound more like a native speaker? Mm. And there's one small thing I noticed when Leanne was speaking is that she pronounced the T very carefully at the end of that. I think she said, I want to speak like that. Now, when I speak, because I'm from London, I don't pronounce the T. I say that. So are you going to copy me or are you going to copy somebody who pronounces the T at the end, who says that? Because when you decide you want to speak like a native speaker, which native speaker accent are you going to copy? Because you really have to stay constant. It sounds strange to mix them, don't you think?
Yeah. And as Craig says, which native speaker are you going to copy? Because many Irish people pronounce the word that as that, as if it were written with a D. I like that over there. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that over there.
We've been pronouncing TH. Yeah,
we've been talking about the pronunciation of TH, and I come from Ireland, and many people there don't do it the standard way. What's that over there? You know, so I wouldn't worry about it, Leanne, too much. I think it's good that you strive to sound like a native speaker, but don't expect to sound exactly the same. You shouldn't expect to. It would be counterproductive, I think, to be angry with yourself just because you don't sound like a native speaker. That's silly. Just try to pronounce well, but don't be surprised if you have a slight foreign accent. There's nothing to worry about.
There is an accent that's very recognizable spoken. It used to be spoken more on the BBC. It's kind of like the way the Queen of England speaks, or maybe some newscasters, people working for the BBC. The name is RP, which is received pronunciation. And it's people who speak like this very correctly, and they pronounce every single word in a very clipped, precise kind of way. But interestingly, only 2% of the people in the UK speak with this accent. So it's disproportionate to the recognition it has as an accepted accent of English. Most people, 98%, do not speak like the Queen.
Yeah. What's more, for the people who do speak like the Queen, if they aren't the Queen, it's almost a bit embarrassing for them in certain circumstances. Some people will make fun of them. People who have this incredibly posh Pijo accent, it'll be like, if they go to certain parts of the UK, the people around them will laugh at them and make fun of them for having such a perfect old-fashioned sounding accent. It's almost an embarrassment in some places.
They won't fit in. They won't be accepted as easily. So my personal opinion is that you should embrace your individualism. If you happen to be Spanish, that's who you are. You have a Spanish accent. Accept it. And also, I think foreign accents speaking English very often sound sexy. I think they're very, very nice. So don't be afraid to be French or Mexican or Argentinian or Irish or whoever you are. Just accept it, and that is your personality. Antonio Banderas, Penelope Cruz, how much money did they make? And they don't have English accents. They speak with their accents. And there are many French actors and singers and famous people who have that identity, even though their English accent isn't perfect.
Can I just tell the listeners a little anecdote about But Penelope Cruz, who you've mentioned, mm-hmm. or Penelope Cruz, as they call her in Hollywood, check it out. Check it out on the internet if you don't believe me. We were talking earlier about the pronunciation of the word worth. You know the famous L'Oreal shampoo ads, which Penelope Cruz, amongst other people, has done? And she says, L'Oreal, because I'm worth it. That's the catchphrase. Porque yo lo valgo, you say in Spanish. Because I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. I found it amazing many years ago when I saw Penelope Cruz do this ad. And she only did it in English, and in the English language. And I saw it in Spain, and they dubbed her voice. I can't for the life of me understand why.
Because maybe they thought so many Spanish listeners wouldn't understand the expression, I'm worth it.
Okay, but Penelope Cruz, Spanish. They dubbed her in Spanish. It's not her speaking Spanish. She only recorded it in her original accent in English.
So your question is, why didn't Penelope Cruz record it in Spanish?
But they dubbed her. It's most bizarre. Why would you do that?
Strange.
Que doblaron a Penelope Cruz, que me explico, in Spanish. See, only has an English version, and if you want to hear the Spanish version, you can't hear her voice.
Maybe now she has a Californian accent when she speaks Spanish. Maybe she speaks Spanish with a Californian accent because she lives in L.A. Anyway, another interesting fact to think about for you, what for people out there wanting to speak more like a native speaker, there are around approximately 250 million people speaking English as their first language, native speakers. However, we don't know for sure, but approximately anywhere from 470 million, that's like twice as much, up to 1 billion non-native speakers in the world. And there's a famous linguist called David Crystal who puts the ratio at approximately 3-1. So for every one native speaker, there are three non-native speakers. So Leanne, you are in the majority. There are three times more of you than there are of us. That's something to think about.
Leanne wants to be an English teacher. Do you think that changes anything? Does she really need to have this authentic native speaker's accent?
Well, I was very curious. So I sent her a message and I asked Leanne why it's so important for her, because we've given reasons why maybe you shouldn't worry about it. So let's see what Leanne thinks about why it's so important for her to speak like a native speaker.
Hi, Mr. Cray. And I didn't understand if you were asking me why. But anyway, in one quaderno, your father said that if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. And if I'm going to be an English teacher, what I'm going to teach to my student if my accent is bad, how they are going to sound. And I don't like when a native speaker tells me do again or say it again, because I feel like I'm doing a bad job. So that's why I would like to speak with a correct accent, and also because it really sounds lovely. I like how British English sounds, and I would like to speak like that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for answering my question. And also, very, very surprised and happy that you listened to my dad on the Mansion Inglés when I interviewed him a long, long time ago, many years ago, speaking about his idea that if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. And that was one thing that my dad passed on to me. And I agree. I agree with him. I think that's true. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it properly. Do it as well as you possibly can. And hearing you explain your reasons now, I totally understand how important it is for you to speak English as best as you can. Any comments?
Yeah, Leanne, I understand. I take your point. Yeah. But we could throw back another question at you and say, well, which accent would you prefer then as a native speaker? British, American, Australian, New Zealand, Irish, Canadian, Jamaican, South African, you know? If you mix them, then you won't sound like a native speaker. It's really hard to just stick to one accent.
If you've been studying British English for most of your sort of student life, studying English, and you're going to be teaching English, then I'd suggest paying attention to and studying standard English. That would be using the pronunciation symbols that you can find on the internet. If you just type in phonetic symbols, you'll find the table. Learn those sounds. They're also on the Mansion and Glares website. And that's the kind of accent that you need to practice. And it tends to be south of the UK in the London area. So if you draw a line just above London and go down from there, that's more or less where the standard English is focused. And some people have an ear for languages, which means that they can listen to an accent and copy it very well or quite well. Similar in a way to you have an ear for music, you can have an ear for languages. So it's easier for some people than others. The way to do it is just to keep listening, learn the pronunciation, practice the pronunciation, watch YouTube videos. I'll recommend a couple in a second that you could go to begin, and just keep on copying, recording your voice, repeating, getting as close as possible to the sound that you want to get or the accent that you're trying to copy.
Craig, just to end on a kind of funny note, do you remember those old black and white war films where there were quite often spies and they learned to speak German? You know, they would, let's say it's a supposedly a British soldier or an American, and they've infiltrated into the heart of Berlin and they speak German. I think, what a load of baloney. That, I'm sure that did not happen. It's so unlikely.
What's baloney?
Baloney is que tontería. It's like impossible. Because I reckon that within about 20 minutes, most average German people would have sussed out. They would have abrían piado.
Realized, yeah.
That this person is not the native speaker. But in the war films, you know, a guy with a perfect kind of Oxford English accent, you know, suddenly arrives in Berlin pretending to be a Gestapo agent. And he's going, see, ich bin Berlin. Is like, no, come on, mate. In real life, that I'm sure it just did not happen.
No.
I don't believe it for a minute.
It's very, very difficult to copy that regional accent, especially. Absolutely right. So I'm going to put two links in the show notes to this episode of YouTube channels that I recommend to start. They are both American English, though. I haven't managed to find a good, effective YouTube channel that only specializes in pronunciation. So if you know one, please let us know. And I will put that also in the show notes, which are at inglespodcast.com/169.
And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us like Leanne or an idea for a future episode? Send us a voice message and tell us what you think at speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. Or maybe send us an email with a comment to craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And if you would like more detailed show notes, go and join our Patreons over at patreon.com, or who are doing a wonderful job in supporting the podcast and helping us to create more, hopefully more show notes that in the future we will have all the show notes for this podcast. So patreon.com/inglespodcast. Our lovely sponsors are, here they are, Nicolai, Anna, Pedro, Martinez, Manuel García Betagón, Maite Parecín Pérez, Lara Alem, María Gervati, Sara Jarabo, Carlos Garrido, Zara Heath Picasso, Mamen, Juan Leiva Guerrera, Corey Finneran, Mariel Reidamen, Jorge Jiménez, Raúl López Rafael, Manuel Tarazona, Agus Paulucci, Manuel Velázquez, Néstor García Mañez, NestorGM.com, Luces Extrañas, Night Sky Podcast, very recommended, and Juan Carlos.
Thank you very much to all of you guys. Thank you very much for being Patreon sponsors to all of you guys. And we'd also like to thank Arminda from Madrid, Alberto from Granada, and Angelica Bello from Madrid for continuing to transcribe the show notes. And we now have full transcriptions for episodes 131 to 145. 42. And thanks to Angelica, episodes 1 and 2, way back from years ago.
Way back in the day.
So that's about it for today. Craig, what do we got for next week's episode?
Well, thanks for listening. Today on next week's podcast, how to begin a presentation in English. So if you are doing presentations, or maybe in the future you're doing presentations at work or at conferences in front of people, you'll want to listen to next week's podcast. Until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.